prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. We are both from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
And we want you to start using your brain and stop faking it. Stop faking it. Here's what I mean.
Okay. All of a sudden, I feel convicted.
Today, we're talking about what it means to be a pseudo-intellectual.
A what?
A pseudo-intellectual.
Pseudo-intellectual.
Yeah. You know, like a pseudo-spaghettio would be a fake spaghetti, like generic spaghettios, but it's not even really spaghettios.
Right. Okay. I got you. It's like, yeah, like you just said, the generic spaghettios.
Yeah. And yeah. But it's, you know, not actually spaghettios. It's trying to pass off as though it were. Well, pseudo-intellectuals, that type of person who they want to act like they're an intellectual.
The save you much spaghetti rings. I don't think that's actual. I wanted to give a brand name that actually didn't exist.
Oh,
if it does,
gosh.
I'm sorry. Don't sue me.
What the heck? And sometimes we're all pseudo-intellectuals. Mm-hmm. We've all done this. I've done this.
Oh, yeah.
You've done that.
Oh, yeah. And I loved doing it.
So this is not about accusing anybody of anything, but this is just recognizing that sometimes we do this. Pretty much everybody on Facebook does this.
Right.
It's terrible. Or on Google Plus for the 12 of you listeners who are on Google Plus.
Yeah, it was like way back in the 90s when everybody that was doing Wikipedia were pseudo-intellectuals.
Yes. Wikipedia has gotten substantially better.
Yes.
It's still not completely reliable. But yeah, I mean, this is... So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Of course, we also got Bible Contradiction. We have some listener questions we're going to do. But we're from Revolution Church. We love the truth. We love science. We love God. We love the Bible. We love all these things. We think you can believe in all of them because they all lead to truth. The question is, what is true, and not what do I want to be true?
Right. And the answer to the question of which do we love more, science or God, that would be God, because God created science, just so you know.
Well, yeah, that's good. All right. So in a world full of terrorism and murder and corporate fraud, there's innumerable dangers. Mm-hmm. Innumerable dangers. They're everywhere. But there's this danger of the pseudo-intellectual, and it is much more dangerous than any terrorist or person on an FBI top 10 list. Even though the CIA is not going to hunt them down and Interpol doesn't care, the pseudo-intellectual can do more damage to our world than any of them.
You think maybe you're over-exaggerating there?
Well, it's possibly somewhat of a pseudo-intellectual claim, what I just said, because I'm not actually providing any evidence for that fact, but I sure feel like it's accurate.
Right. You sounded like it was accurate.
See, that's the thing about pseudo-intellectuals. Mm-hmm. Like, we make these claims. I don't necessarily have to provide any understanding or evidence to that,
right.
But I make this claim that seems possible. I'm going to argue for my point. I don't really care what the facts say. And, you know, I actually do think that the pseudo-intellectual could be more dangerous than anyone on the FBI top 10 list.
That's true.
I think that may be accurate, but without providing any reason why or evidence for that, I've just become a pseudo-intellectual. If I were to say something like, look, obviously, everybody knows the fake thinkers are much more dangerous than a terrorist. It's obvious. I've just become this total pseudo-intellectual who, if you try to engage me in a debate, and you've met these people, you try to engage them on debate, or you try to even have a rational, joyful discussion with them.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that just doesn't work out very well. All right. So here's the pseudo-intellectuals. Those who believe that their intelligence and their understanding of the world surpasses all of the great previous thinkers to them, they are pseudo-intellectuals. Right? Anyone who's made a judgment statement about any given topic without having their facts straight or their understanding distorted is a pseudo-intellectual. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I, Pastor Jeff, am a pseudo-intellectual. At some point...
Do tell. Preach it.
Everyone is a pseudo-intellectual.
I'm never a pseudo-intellectual.
Stop it. I've seen it 1,000 times. Not you specifically.
Oh, thank goodness.
By the way, we have an article that we're going to link to on this, an article about pseudo-intellectuals. It's actually on our church website, but if you go to truthrevolution.tv and you go into the show, we'll link to it.
Mm-hmm.
You got that, Dave?
I got that.
You got that.
Gonna do it.
So we're going to link to it. And, you know, we've seen it 1,000 times. You've seen it 1,000 times. A decent discussion between two people is interrupted by someone making this forcible argument. So the debate usually ends shortly after that, and then the third party arises victorious.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, however, is that often this third party is not using real facts. Like their goal, listen, this is important. If your goal is to win rather than to find the truth, you're a pseudo-intellectual.
Right.
It goes something like this. So John is talking. So are you saying blue's the best color?
Well, it seems as though the reflection of light often produces a very pleasing result with blue, don't you think?
And then Larry jumps in, this other guy. He's like, wait, you two. I read a study once that said that most people prefer orange. So That's pretty obvious that orange is the best color.
That's pretty much true, by the way.
What?
Orange is the best color.
Are you just saying that because you're a Denver Broncos fan?
I wouldn't say that.
You?
Why would I say that?
Okay. We're going to talk about pseudo sports fans here in a minute.
Ouch.
Anyway, so we got Larry jumping in here, right? Mm-hmm. He's got his unverifiable study that he, quote, read once.
Right.
You know, and his persuasive use of the word obvious. Now, okay, before we get into this too much further, like, I don't want to just Larry bash, right? Maybe Larry really did read a study that said people prefer orange. I don't know. But without being able to verify that claim, I have no way of knowing whether a study was actually real scientific study or was a Gap advertisement talking about their new line of sweaters, right?
Nice.
Like, I don't know. Okay, let's give Larry the benefit of the doubt. Even if there really was a study that said most people prefer orange, and it's completely true, and it's acceptable in this conversation to bring it up, his lack of bringing any verifiable piece of information about it doesn't allow him to win.
Right.
Right? There's no link to the study. There's no kindness in the way he demonstrated that. It doesn't help John and the other person discussing to actually see the truth. It doesn't make them comfortable with it. It doesn't help them to be open to it. Mostly just ticks them off.
So what you're saying is that in that conversation, everybody loses.
Everybody loses because, you know, John and the other person, Cindy, you were having this conversation. Now they just want out of the conversation. And then you got Larry, who's just being bullheaded. He's not proving his point. He's just making everybody annoyed.
Right.
Everyone. Basically, he doesn't actually win. He just got everybody else to resign.
Right. I wonder. By default.
Yeah. And actually, this is like what a lot of Facebook arguments devolve into, right? It's not that everyone finally agrees that someone, you know what? He made the best point.
Everyone's tired and went home.
Just stop talking.
Right.
How can I exit this thing without looking like an idiot? I mean, I've been there, man.
Yeah.
I've so been there.
Oh, yeah. The internet's full of it.
Man. And not only on the internet, but in real life too, I've been there. But, you know, in our discussions and debates with others, we should be trying as much as is possible to have verifiable claims.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, we should. Like, if a majority of our sentences begin with, quote, I think, like, well, then we probably should think harder. Okay, it's not about, I think that. It's about, here's some piece of evidence, or here's some truth, or here's a rational way to think about this argument. Not that the phrase "I think" is innately evil,
right? I mean, that can be used in objective discussions.
Sure, it can. But if you're using it just as a way to enter your opinion into a discussion, we should question whether or not that's a valid way to get into the discussion. Right. Now, if you're talking about like favorite flavors, oh, I think that pepperoni is great on pizza.
Right.
Oh, well, I think anchovies are. Well, I think you're stupid. Right. Like that's
Jeff.
You can use some phrases like I think, but if we're trying to figure out something real, we need
truth.
We're trying to get to like the truth of something, not just a subjective preference, but like the objective truth about something. Just sharing what we think isn't always that helpful. You know, our arguments shouldn't be made up out of thin air, but they should be well thought out explanations with claims that can be confirmed. Of course, we're all going to be in the circumstance where we remember the story or we remember the study or there's that Bible verse that says such and such, but I can't remember where it was or who said it. All right, that's fine. That's fine. I know that. And I'm not saying don't bring it up, but at that point, let's at least proceed with a lot more care and gentleness than usual. And always, we got to enter these discussions with humbleness, a desire to actually find what we're quoting when the discussion recesses. So if we're saying an argument about the Denver Broncos versus the Kansas City Chiefs,
right?
And I'm like, no, you know, Dave, I don't care what you say. The Kansas City Chiefs have actually won more overall games than the Denver Broncos.
That's a lie.
Well, I would need to go back and try to verify that somehow. But hopefully I would not say, Dave, I don't care what you say. Hopefully I'd say, Dave, I know you love the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I'm using the I think phrase in the right way, watch.
Right.
I think the Chiefs have actually won more games than the Broncos.
And then I would say, let me go ahead and pull up NFL.com and I will show you. Now, if you were talking about certain seasons, yeah, that definitely would be true in certain seasons.
I'm talking about all seasons put together.
No.
You don't think so?
Nope. I know so.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Aren't the Chiefs older than the Broncos?
No. They came into the league the same year.
See, I don't know anything about this at all. I'm totally being a pseudo-intellectual right now, but I'm trying to use it as a point. So,
Good job.
I would have to go back and actually check out the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we're going to do. We're gonna do a Bible contradiction, and then we're going to come in and find some distinctions and definitions of exactly what makes a pseudo-intellectual and exactly how we can avoid it. So we're going to do Bible contradiction first.
Bible contradiction.
That's the first time we ever opened the Bible contradiction with an audience clap there.
Woo!
In Genesis 5:18, God promises the Israelites would have certain land, but they do not have it, even though the Messiah already came. Was the Bible wrong?
No.
All right. Way to go on that Bible contradiction.
That was
Mr.
easy.
Pseudo-intellectual.
That was so easy. All right. Genesis 5:18, God does promise the Israelites that they're going to have certain land. So why didn't they always have it? Why don't right. they have it all? What's going on? Well, our cracked acronym, there's a K, C-R-A-C-K-E-D. This cracked acronym is our hermeneutics, how we properly understand scripture.
Right.
You remember what the K is for?
Knit together.
That's right. You grandmas out there who listen to our show, you do some knitting,
mm-hmm.
and you young men who do some knitting, everybody who does some knitting, I'm trying to be gender inclusive there.
You are.
You all know how, like, you pull on one pretty shirt and it tugs, like, the whole thing kind of tugs in together. Well, the whole Bible's knit together, right? In Genesis, you tug on it, and we have to read stuff in the New Testament and understand how that worked, because it's all knit together. Well, Jesus made it very clear in John 18:36 that his kingdom was not of this world.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The struggle for land can be seen as a spiritual struggle, all right? So even Hebrews chapter 11:10 says that Abraham, quote, was looking forward, okay, because this promise was made to Abraham,
right,
that he would get all his land. And in Hebrews, it says that Abraham was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder was God rather than mere physical land. So he wasn't looking forward to just some piece of property. He was looking forward to a real city who God builds with his own hands, a real way of living with certain people. There's a book called The Israel of God by Robertson. It's an excellent book. Everybody should, if you like theology, you should read The Israel of God. Dave, will you read this quote?
The quote says, Jesus teaches not that the Jewish race will inherit the promised land, but that in the new covenant, the meek, regardless of their ethnic background, will inherit the earth, wherever in this world they might live.
So what's going on here is you have God promising this land to the Jews, and some people took this very specifically. Oh, there's these certain lands between these certain rivers, and you're going to get that land.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't limited to that concept. Israel is a much broader concept than just the physical descendants of Abraham. And that land is much more than just a certain piece of land in the Middle East. Romans chapter 9 fleshes that out. It says, it's not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Uh-huh. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children.
Right.
It is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring.
Amen.
In other words, God has one people. Christians and Jews who believe in Jesus are one people. We are true Israel, and we will receive the real land when God establishes the new earth. And then all that land will be the promised land. We will receive it all, and those who reject Jesus will lose it all.
Right.
So this promise is absolutely true. It's just still being fulfilled.
The Bible was not wrong.
The Bible is not wrong. When Israel got that land, it was a microcosm. It was a metaphor. It was a shadow of the reality to come, not the real thing.
Amen.
All right, that's our Bible contradiction for today. Dave, where should they go?
TruthRevolution.tv.
Some of you have donated to the show. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Some of you sent in questions. We love to hear it. We'll be right back with more pseudo-intellectual information.
truth shots from truthrevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Why are there so many religions? Do all roads lead to God? Or maybe there just isn't a God at all?
Whoa, let's answer one question at a time. There are several reasons why there are so many religions, but chief among them is mankind's rejection of the one true God.
You mean people created a God or many gods in rejection of one? How can that be?
Many people don't want to believe in a God that would demand morality and righteousness, so they created their own God and their own requirements. In this way, they don't have to rely on the one true God. They make their own set of rules that they think will get them into heaven, but it's all in vain.
That's interesting, but maybe all roads lead to heaven.
Well, actually, all roads do lead to God, but some roads lead to God's judgment. Only one road leads to salvation. It's through Jesus that we find God, and only through Him can we be saved. Only by His sacrifice are our sins forgiven. All roads lead to God, but Jesus leads to salvation.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, do we allow messed up people at Revolution Church?
Bro, sometimes my life is messy. I'm a human being. I've done wrong, but we believe in forgiveness from Jesus. It's powerful. When I sin,
I forgive you. And when I do something dumb,
I forgive you and help you back on track with God. Revolution Church, currently accepting messed up people.
Sundays at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Online at revo.church. We'd love to have you.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
Revolution Church is inviting you to come out this Sunday.
That's right. You, your kids, your friends, you probably believe God exists, but there is so much more that God has for your life than just believing in Him a little.
God has so much more for you than where you're at right now.
You get a little nervous, I know, but God loves you, and He promises that if you pursue Him, He'll take care of everything you need.
Check us out online at revo.church.
R-E-V-O.church. Come on out to Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
The best show on radio, hands down.
Yeah.
Truth Revolution.
Do you have any evidence for that?
I do.
Yeah? What is it?
It's a straw poll.
Straw poll?
Yeah.
Oh, I know where you're going with that one. You guys got to wait till we get to our distinctions and definitions, point number one, to understand why he said that. That was really clever, Dave. Well, I no longer consider you a pseudo-intellectual.
Well, you know, I know there's no proof of my cleverness, but
yet,
I am.
Yet, there will be. He's coming up. Guys, I'm telling you, Dave's smarter than he lets on, people.
Yeah.
All right, so distinctions and definitions. We're talking about pseudo-intellectuals. What the heck are they? How do you make sure you're not one? Basically, they're the person who we all have been at some point who tries to make arguments when you don't know all the facts, or you claim there's a study when you don't really have the study. Merriam-Webster actually defines what a pseudo-intellectual is.
A person who wants to be thought of as having a lot of intelligence and knowledge, but who is not really intelligent or knowledgeable. That was me like 20 years ago.
Oh, man. We've all been there.
Yeah. I'd argue it into the ground, even though somebody was showing me proof to the otherwise.
I know. It's like sometimes we get engaged in these arguments and we want to win more than we want the truth. We want people to think we're smart more than we actually want to be smart.
Right. And let me tell you the most freeing phrase that you can ever utter.
Yeah.
Either I don't know or I was wrong.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll even add to that. How about the phrase, I'll find that out.
Right. There you go.
I love that one because then we don't just have to say, well, I don't know and I'm an idiot and I'm going to go away now.
Right.
But like, you know, I don't know, but let's find out.
Yeah.
I love following it with let's find out. Anyway, okay. In other words, let's go into, okay. Pseudo intellectuals are not, we have three things just to clarify what pseudo-intellectuals are not. Okay, it's number one, pseudo-intellectuals are not people who make honest mistakes.
Right.
We've all made honest mistakes. You know, there was this, there was this study, and they analyzed the Chiefs and the Broncos, and the Chiefs really won more games than the Broncos.
Did they really have to have a study for that?
They did a study because, you know, they play some, what do you call it when they play a game that's not for a real game?
Oh, you know, like the exhibition games?
They played some exhibition games. And
I thought maybe you're talking like they played badminton or something.
No, no. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
That's why they had to do a study. That's
probably the case.
Okay, so maybe I'm wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But like I actually thought I was right. I just made an honest mistake.
Whatever.
Now, if I'm just saying that because I'm just trying to win and I'm coming up with crazy stuff, that's being a pseudo-intellectual. Right. But if I actually genuinely made an honest mistake, then that's fine. I can actually genuinely, honestly retract that when I find, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Right.
Okay. The second thing, pseudo-intellectuals are not people who don't know everything. Dave said at the beginning of this section, the beautiful phrase is, I don't know. You're not being a pseudo-intellectual when you don't know.
Right.
In fact, you're being an intellectual. The beginning of knowledge is... I want wisdom. Actually, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom.
That sounds like, very biblical, Jeff.
Yeah, it was a Bible verse. Right? Like, the very first thing we have to do is recognize we don't know everything, and I want to know things. And the third thing that pseudo-intellectual is not is people who believe something wrong.
Right. Because I mean, they could have been told by somebody else or brainwashed by somebody, you know, and they staunchly believe it until you might be able to persuade them otherwise with actual hard cold facts, which I intend to do with you and your Chiefs.
Right. Whatever. For doctors, and I'm just using this as an example, I may be wrong, but let's just say doctors were taught for many years that that bleeding people was the best way to heal them. I think that's true.
It is true.
And so doctors were taught this for many years that you should bleed people to heal them. Doctors would have been considered intellectuals, and they're not. He's not being a pseudo intellectual just because he believes something wrong, right? He'd put in the work, he'd studied, he'd researched. He didn't come to the right conclusion yet, but he's not a pseudo intellectual. He just doesn't have all the information yet. This is why we don't ever want to say that we know all the information. But
That's kind of a slippery slope. You know, I know everything.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. All right, so 10 identifying features of a pseudo-intellectual. Mm-hmm. Now, Dave said we have the best radio show, hands down. I said, what was the evidence? And he said a straw poll.
Yeah.
All right, well, number one identifying feature of a pseudo-intellectual. Are you ready for this? Straw man arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Straw man arguments. What are they, Dave?
The misrepresentation of someone's position, point, or argument.
That's right. So let's say that Dave's trying to argue that, I don't know, Dave, what's something you would like to argue?
That the Broncos have won more games than the Chiefs.
Okay, so then I'm like, Dave, it's just completely ridiculous for you to even suggest that inside of Kansas, the Broncos are better. Well, wait a minute. That's not what Dave...
That's not what I was saying.
That's not what Dave was saying. And if you...
Although it's true.
If you listen... Stop it! If you listen to cable news, like Sean Hannity...
Stop it.
You're going to see this all the time.
Uh-huh.
All the time, right? If you listen to Facebook arguments, you'll see this all the time. And people... Oh, in memes... And I actually have a group where I post some memes.
Right.
But you see it all the time in memes. It's where you take what someone actually says and you twist it a little bit to make it easier to defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's like, oh man, you really showed Hillary what was up. Oh, you really showed Trump what was up. Well, no, not really, because that's not actually what they were trying to communicate. You just took their quote out of...
And see, when people see that, don't they just know that's happening?
I don't think most of the time they do, because they get so excited that their opponent lost.
Right.
They're just so excited that their opponent said something stupid that they didn't realize they're twisting what their opponent said. Because it's a lot easier to not get at the heart of what your enemy thinks.
Right.
It's a lot easier to just say, well, I think they mean this, and twist it and just to argue against it.
Right.
So strawman arguments are a huge identifying feature of a pseudo-intellectual. You don't do that, right? You got to know what people are really saying. Number two.
The anecdotal fallacy. Using a personal experience or one example instead of logical arguments or compelling evidences.
That's right. So let's bring it back to football. Okay, people do this all the time. Who's won more games? And Dave's saying the Broncos have, mm-hmm. and I'm saying the Chiefs have. Then I go, Dave, I went to a Chiefs-Broncos game at Arrowhead Stadium like a couple years ago, and the Chiefs destroyed them. I was there, dude.
Well, so if you're talking about more games on that one specific day, I would say you're right.
Right. See, I'm using one specific example, and I'm talking about how they crushed them, and they mm-hmm. won, and I was there, and I saw it. That's my personal experience. It's that one example, but it doesn't actually get to the logic of the entire argument.
Right.
Right. It's not really whether or not they won on that day. It's who's won more games overall.
Right.
And so you're... personal experience doesn't always help when trying to have these rational discussions. And these rational discussions could be anything like, does God exist? Or should you get vaccines for your children? Please do. Or should you go to church? Or should, whatever it is, any type of logical argument.
Right.
Number three, identifying feature of a pseudo-intellectual. Right.
The false opposite, the modus tollens. If you think you know the opposite, but don't.
Okay. This is huge. This is like, okay, there's actually numbers 5 through 10 contain some of my favorites, but this, out of the ones we've done so far, this is my favorite.
Right.
Okay. You think you know the opposite, but you don't. For instance, if you eat two large pizzas, your stomach will ache. Okay. Take that sentence. If you eat two large pizzas, your stomach will ache. You think that the opposite is if you don't eat two large pizzas, your stomach won't ache.
Right.
And that's what everybody thinks the opposite is, but that's not the opposite.
Right.
Why? Well,
yeah, your stomach might ache from something else.
Your stomach might ache from something besides the pizza.
Right.
So just, you can't just say, okay, we're going to use philosophical terms here, okay? If P, then Q. If P, like if you eat two large pizzas, then Q, then your stomach will ache.
Right.
You can't just do not P, not Q. Like you can't just say opposite. You actually have to take the Q portion, put a not in front of it, put it in the front, put the P portion, a not in front of it, and put it in the back of the sentence. So instead of, if you eat two large pizzas, your stomach will ache. The opposite would be, you do the back end first, okay? You didn't, if your stomach doesn't ache,
then you didn't eat two large pizzas.
Then you didn't eat two large pizzas.
Right.
That's the opposite.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
So if you eat two large pizzas, your stomach will ache. The opposite is, if your stomach doesn't ache, then you didn't eat two large pizzas.
Yeah.
That's the opposite. Now, this is huge because let's just think about the arguments that people use all the time, okay? If you don't use your right to vote, you've wasted your right. Well, okay. You think the opposite of that is, if you use your right to vote, you didn't waste it. But that's right. Not the opposite.
Right.
No, the opposite is actually, if you didn't waste your right, then you used your right to vote. So it's not actually saying, you actually could vote and still waste your vote.
Yes.
And so sometimes you say these things like, if you don't use your right to vote, then you wasted it. Well, just because I used my right to vote doesn't mean I didn't waste it.
Right.
Right. So you have to be really careful about these arguments you make, because sometimes you think you're giving someone the opposite, or you might be making a decision based on the opposite argument someone made. But you got to make sure you do it right. Now, we'll try to line this out on the website, the if P, then Q. And hey, our tech guy, Sam, we have a video about this, right? We'll link to the video.
Okay.
We'll link to the video because you got to see it visually to make. And they actually use this video we made in some seminaries.
Really?
Yeah, they do. And so there's a seminary. They make their students go through it every year. It's really good stuff. It's a really good video. So, okay. Do we have time? You know what? We're going to go over time. So we're going to do the rest of these online only. Numbers 4, 5 through 10.
About 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want to call it them all. I thought it would take too much time, but you just did it. And then I just talked about it. TruthRevolution.tv. Don't be a pseudo-intellectual. Listen to the rest of these ways to not be a pseudo-intellectual.
There you go.
All right, we're going to be online at TruthRevolution.tv. If you're not getting the podcast, you should get the podcast.
It'll change your life.
That's right. Look up my name, Jeff Piepo, P-I-E-P-H-O, in iTunes, or type Revolution Church, Truth Revolution, or type Piepo, Truth Revolution, mm-hmm. or Dave Wagner, Truth Revolution.
It'll change your life.
You got to get the... It will. If you don't sign up, you will be dumb.
Right. If you don't sign up, your life won't be changed.
No, that's not the opposite. The opposite is, if you're not dumb, you did sign up.
Oh, oh snap.
All right, so Truth Revolution TV is our website. You got to get out there, or you got to sign up for the podcast because you don't want to be dumb. You don't want to be pseudo-intellectual.
Hey, man.
For those of you who send in the questions, we answer every single one of them we've gotten, at least so far. Keep sending the questions. Please continue donating because you make this show happen. You help people change lives. Thanks a lot for listening. Coming out to Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And now we're on the best podcast, hands down.
All right, if you're listening to the rest of this, we already know you're not a pseudo-intellectual.
Right.
Because you want to know the real reasons to...
Or you're a recovering pseudo-intellectual like I am.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, once a pseudo-intellectual, always a pseudo-intellectual.
But you're in recovery.
I'm in recovery. You'll always have that urge.
I totally do.
Yeah.
Actually, when people post dumb things on Facebook, I just want to post little pictures of, like, rolling my eyes all the...
Why would you even say something so stupid?
Okay. 10 identifying features of a pseudo-intellectual. Number 4, they look like Jeff. No, just kidding. Number 4. All right.
Not reading the study / paper / article.
All right. Facebook debates when people post, quote, evidence and scientific studies or reference for them, but they haven't actually read the study that they're posting. This drives me nuts, dude.
Mm-hmm. I know it does.
Oh, man. At least read the abstract. Okay, the abstracts on articles are usually free. If you go into these scientific papers, the abstract's usually free, where you get like the summary of it. At least read the abstract.
And that's what I would do anyway. I mean, it's less reading, right?
Right. I got into an argument with someone about something, it was scientific stuff, and they were like, well, you just haven't read the scientific studies about it. And I was like, well, then show them to me. I'd love to know. And they posted the link for me, and I went and read it. I was like,
and it supported your argument?
Yeah. I said, did you even read the article? And they're like, well, that's not the point.
What?
I was like,
maybe that's not the point.
No, I'm pretty sure that is the point. So if you're gonna post links or articles, make sure you actually read them. Like, right. Actually read the studies.
Yeah, there's one way to actually to become an intellectual, and that is to actually read the article and then read it with comprehension.
Oh, dang. That's good.
I'm just saying.
Actually, what I have found that helps a little bit is to read the abstract or to read the conclusion, so you know where they're going,
mm-hmm.
and then to kind of like scan through and get some bullet points, and then try to read through it a little bit more in depth. Because at least for me, when I just try to read like a scientific paper straight through, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Where are you going with this?
Like, right. It's like reading a legal paper.
It is. It's like over my head. I don't get it. But if I read the abstract or the conclusion first, and then I look through, try to find some major points, like some heading paragraphs and like try to get those, then I kind of understand their argument. Then when I read the paper, I understand the flow and where they're going.
There's got to be somebody out there that's an intellectual, high intellectual, that can dumb everything down that they read and rewrite it for a layman. Oh, like me.
Yeah, his name is Hugh Ross, and he was on our show 2 weeks ago.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy.
All right. Number 5, the fifth identifying feature of a pseudo-intellectual.
Too much use of the words like obviously or everyone and other generic terms.
Let's just stop using those things.
Right?
Let's just... Because all you're really doing when you use words like obviously... is trying to reinforce your point lacking evidence.
Obviously.
For real.
For reals?
All right.
Everyone does that.
Well, it's obviously the best way to get your point across. Right. Yeah.
Number 6, switch your point subtly without conceding. I used to do this a lot, but I was never a master at it.
Really?
Yeah.
I've totally done this before. Are you making the argument? And, you know, it's like we're talking about the Chiefs and the Broncos, and we're like, you're just hammering me. You're like, Jeff, look, it says right here, the Broncos have won 90 games and the Chiefs have won 83 games. I'm like, well.
It's not even that close.
Well, yeah, but Dave, that's nationwide.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm switching my point subtly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, no, Dave, I just meant the AFC.
Yeah.
You know,
our conversation would be over at that point.
Right? Like, but people do this all the time where you subtly change what you're arguing instead of just saying, okay, well, you're right about that. You're right that they've won more games. But what about preseason games? You know, now let's talk about a different point.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just acting like
the ones that don't count.
Right. Instead of just acting, instead of actually conceding that, because, you know, just admit it, right? Love to learn, admit that you're wrong, and love the fact that you're wrong and now you know the truth.
Right.
Love it, right? Proverbs 12:1.
Yeah.
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That's in the Bible. You can't get us in trouble for saying stupid, right? This is in the Bible. We have to memorize this to serve in our church, don't we?
We do.
People have to memorize this. All right.
Numbers, because we get disciplined a lot.
Just kidding. It's because we're stupid.
Right. All right. Number 7, assuming you know your opponent's reasoning and argument and not listening carefully or not seeking to understand.
And this is huge. Mm-hmm. People do this a lot. Like, I'm coming in here to put the hammer down instead of wanting to listen to you and really understand what your point is.
Right.
It's a lot more difficult to have the patience and inclination to understand people.
Yeah, that's a loveless stance, if I might say. A loveless stance that somebody would come to an argument without the willingness to try and understand somebody.
You're right. It is loveless. And if we're followers of Jesus, our point is to love people more than winning any argument.
Amen. Well said.
Number 8.
Acting like there is no way to know the truth on a given subject.
This is also a pseudo-intellectual move, right? Like, well, you know what? We just won't know. Can't ever know that. Especially when someone's already presented you the evidence.
Right.
Then it's especially being a pseudo-intellectual where it's like, well, look, the Denver Broncos have won 128 games and the Kansas City Chiefs have only won 8. And I'm like, well, you know what? You show me the numbers, but
it's not even that close.
We can't even. Stop it! Jeez. You just. All right. Right. It's just, you know what, Dave? It's all subjective. We only see dimly right now. Right. Like, people have used that line in theological arguments quite a bit. Like, hey, this type of theological reasoning is dangerous because it makes us think that God might not know everything. And they're like, well, you know, we only see dimly right now. We can't know everything about God. I'm like, well, we can know what he told us in scripture. Right. Let's be serious about it. I mean, look, let me emphasize that it is totally wise not to be overly dogmatic. We don't want to go that route. But this is like the other side of it. Actually, you know what? Let's modus tollens this.
Okay.
If you are overly dogmatic, you may miss the truth.
Okay.
Not the opposite. People think the opposite would be if you're extremely open, you won't miss the truth.
Right.
That's not the opposite. You still could miss the truth if you were extremely open.
That's true.
So what is the opposite? If you're overly dogmatic, you may miss the truth. The actual opposite is you may not miss the truth if you aren't overly dogmatic.
See, I was going to say that.
Awesome, dude. I'm really proud of you.
Thanks.
And I totally believe you. You should still take stances on things and believe stuff and research things, but you don't want to be totally dogmatic, and you don't want to, on the other end of it, you don't want to just be like, well, you know, we just can't know that stuff. It's unknowable. That's not cool. All right, number 9, argument, way to be a pseudo-intellectual.
Right, argument from repetition.
Ooh.
Basically beating your opponent into submission.
Yes, that's right. You repeat it so much that your opponent doesn't have the will to live anymore, much less the will to debate you.
Right, I'm just going to lay here in the dirt.
Maybe if I play dead, they'll stop arguing about this.
Please go away.
This is a real thing. You can even go to Wikipedia and find this listed.
Uh-huh.
Right, the argument from repetition. There are some things, and the news media does it so well, and politicians do it. Like, if you just repeat it 10,000 times, people will start to believe it.
Yes. Yeah, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a way to be a pseudo-intellectual. Just saying it over and over and making everybody think it's true.
Right.
Or just making everybody lose the will to fight you on it.
Right. All right, before we hit number 10.
Yes.
I'm going to make an admission.
Okay.
I've been sitting here thinking, I could be wrong about the Broncos and Chiefs.
Well, shall we look it up, Dave?
We shall. Let's do that.
Okay, I'm just gonna. Before, should we put a little wager on this? Since we're looking it up right now, and we're actually doing
yes.
Live.
Let's put an ice cream cone wager on it.
Okay,
ice cream cone wager. We seem to do well on those.
Okay, total. I wrote total ice cream. Total wins. Kansas City Chiefs. Looking at okay, and total wins. Denver Donkeys.
Oh, it's the Broncos.
Oh, the
you put in donkeys, they'll come up with no wins.
All right. So how do I see this, Dave? How do I see this? Is it listed here, actually?
I don't know.
I don't really know.
I can't see the screen from here.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have to look this up other time.
I'll post it.
All right. Well, okay. The Broncos have been to the AFC West champions 15 times. Sheesh,
mm-hmm.
Louise.
Mm-hmm. How are you feeling now?
Not very good.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs have been to the postseason 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just stop looking up things at this point and move on to number 10.
All right. I'm glad I'm not a pseudo-intellectual.
All right.
All right.
10, believing that your own opinion or current sources are the full measure of knowledge on a given subject.
Wait a minute.
What?
I'm still a pseudo-intellectual.
Yeah, sorry about
number
that.
10.
Right. I mean, anytime you think that your own opinion, and we know this already, but here's the other thing. Yeah, your current sources
right.
are the full measure of knowledge. You might have studies that say such and such, but just because your studies say that doesn't mean they're right. We're learning new things all the time, and we need to be open to understanding new things, new studies,
amen.
New information. Basically, what this all boils down to is we should want to learn more, and we should want to understand more than force our arguments on people.
Right. We should love the truth, and we should always seek it.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. This is Pastor Jeff here with Pastor Dave from Revolution Church. Dave, they should get out to truthrevolution.tv, shouldn't they?
They should.
Anything else?
Not really.
Then we'll have a great week. See you next time.